invitation. I come with a heart full of faith. Jesus is in this place. Lord, touch my heart. Lord, touch our lives. Make us new. Jesus' name. Say, Holy Spirit, come. Say, Holy Spirit, come and flood our lives with the fullness of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that you are here tonight. You are here tonight. May every heart come alive. Every heart. Lord, may chains be broken. May despair and hopelessness be removed. May our eyes be open to see. I just feel tonight the Lord is saying there's a revival that's going to break out amongst the young people here in Cape Town. In Jesus' name. It's such a hunger, there's such a thirst in this place. I feel God is saying revival is coming. Revival is coming. Prepare yourselves. Prepare your hearts for my glory. It's coming. It's coming. The water levels are rising. The spirit levels are rising. Hallelujah. Just see a vision of us, a timeline of us, you, me, all of us walking, moving as time is moving on. We are moving into a time, a moment. I see a crossroads. I see like a tsunami wave of the Spirit coming. It's going to hit us. It's going to hit the city. It's going to hit our churches. It's going to crash over us. The love of God, the goodness of God, the life of God. It's coming. Let's say it. It's coming. Let's say it again. It's coming. Gonna crash that crossroads. It's coming. It's coming. The Lord is waiting for us to call upon His name, to cry out. Say, Lord, we are those people, God. We are your people. We are the army of God. In Jesus' name. Let's say it. Revival is coming. Let's say it. Revival is here tonight. Our hearts are going to come alive with the fire of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Let's give the band a hand. That was awesome worship. That was wonderful.
Amen. Many of you know, perhaps, of Andre Krier. I have the privilege, Dale and myself and Helmut, to know him for 20 years. He's a good friend. We incidentally studied the same. He just went on to do his master's in engineering many, many years ago. It's bye-bye lang geleden. Anyway, there was a time when Andre was not gray. There was like BG before gray hair. But Andre and Sonica, married for 16 years. He was pastoring the church here on Tigerberg campus many years ago. And then Andre went to help develop the Bible school curriculum and the multimedia and the corporate ID in HQ for many years, for a number of years. And he's been 2 years, and he's been in East London now for 8 years, and he's pastoring the church there. When he came there, how many of you, one or two of you do come from, Nico, come from West London? PE, it's Amperisella, ne? 300 kilometers I can. This is Johannesburg, Pretoria, same place, yeah. Andre is a regional leader in our church, and some few things are going to change in your work program as well for the next while. But Andre is one of the old leaders in our church, like solid, faithful, serving Christ for a long time. And the passion that he has now for Christ is the same passion when I knew when I was a student, when we prayed together on the campus for God to revive the campus, and God did turn around Stellenbosch campus many years ago. Andrew, I've got tremendous respect for you because you love your wife, because you love God, because you love the church, and because you're faithful. You've been faithful for many years. And thank you so much for ministering here. Andre wrote a book, and it's there at the back. And I really want to encourage you. It has a bit of the story. It tells the journey of the story of how he has grown in anticipating and flowing with the grace of God in so many ways. Seeing healing, seeing prophecy, seeing evangelism. Really, so if you want to grow in that way, if when he ministers tonight, it really touches you, please pick up a copy there at the back. You can pay there at the back. If you don't have money today, then just contact us in the week and pick up a copy here. And this is not just a book thing, because we didn't invite Andre for a sermon. We invited Andre because we recognized that what God is doing in and through his life when he goes to India, to Brazil, or in East London, or in the rest of the Shofar churches, is something that we long for in our own relationship with God. Is that God will come and set us free. So Andre, bye-bye, donkey. Can we just applaud him and welcome him as a man of God?
Amen. So good to be here. So good to be with you guys, Ross, and some old faces. Still looking good. Some of you a little bit more grayer than others, but it feels like a bit of a reunion. Glory to God. So, who's from Tigerberg campus? Who's like students? Yes! Awesome! So I was this campus pastor there some years ago, 2004, 2005. I've got quite a bit of a history with Tigerberg campus. My grandfather was a professor in surgery, and his brother is Francie van Sail, who started the campus. Woohoo! Some of you thought it was a girl. It's not a girl, it's a boy. One of the hostels is called Francie van Sail, the ladies' hostel. Still a ladies' hostel. Okay. Awesome. So I've got a rich history of medical, you know, rich line of medical people. And I think that anointing fell upon me, but not like physical, more spiritual in the sense of not like you guys. And so I want to share a bit with you concerning physical healing. And I'm sure it'll be interesting for you, for the medical people. Because it's your passion, and I just want to say also, we believe there's a partnership between the medical fields and supernatural healing. So many doctors and medical people who allow the Holy Spirit to lead them to know what to do and what scenarios, what situations, and as they've saved lives because of it. You know, so God wants to be there with you in your workplace. It's not just either practical or physical or spiritual. It's both. Take hands with the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants to do. Okay, so around 5 years ago, we started a process, a journey. I shared a bit about that this morning. And so tomorrow night, I'm also going to share three sessions. Each time I'm going to share something different. So you can probably download the sermon from this morning if you missed it, or I'll also put a video on from East London on our site. And so you can watch it if you want to. Just want to say, just concerning the book, Increasing Heaven's Flow, the idea is to help you to renew your mind, your thinking, so that you can walk in the fullness of God. Okay, so it's practical things with declarations, and it enables you truth to set your heart and your mind free so that you can walk in the fullness of God. So I just want to sort of, with these three sessions, is to activate a few things in your lives, to release an anointing. Tonight we're going to trust God for impartation of the healing anointing so that you can pray for others. You see, the fivefold ministry is there to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. I am not the healer. I want to confuse the devil so badly he doesn't know who to go for, because everybody is praying for the sick. Wouldn't that be cool? The devil will know who to go for. It's like everybody, the whole Church of Jesus Christ, going for it. So a few weeks ago, we had a very cool healing at our church. There was a lady, her daughter brought her to church. She had what's called trigeminal neuralgia. It's called the suicide disease. For 5 years, she's had this like nerve pain on the side of the head. For 5 years, it's so bad, they say it feels like someone's taking a brick and hitting you in the face. For 5 years, she couldn't laugh, she couldn't smile, she couldn't see people, she was just hiding away at home, was absolutely destructive to her family and to her personal life. So I had the privilege of praying for her. And then when I prayed for her, I told her, when she told me what's wrong, I said, oh, praise God. Because I prayed for someone in Durban who had the same thing and Jesus healed her. So Jesus can do the same for you. Prayed for her and she got healed. Next Sunday, she testified. 2 weeks later, she was still completely healed. She's smiling, laughing, having joy. Her life is turned around. Praise God. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand for that. Jesus heals. Jesus heals. And so our journey is the first 10 years of ministry, I saw two people physically healed. And then over the next just over three years, we've seen close to 1,200 people physically healed. What changed? We repositioned ourselves in the river of the Spirit. And if I can do it, you can do it. There are no super saints in the kingdom of God. There's no elite. There's no one so special. God loves to take the ordinary, the nobodies, and make something extraordinary of them, because then He gets the glory. Amen. So do you feel ordinary? Who feels ordinary? Wow, you qualify. You qualify. The Holy Spirit's like, yes! Here's someone that I can pour out my goodness into. It's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to arise. When I was in Brazil in middle last year, I got onto stage, the Lord said to me, make my bride beautiful for me. That is our mission. I want to see the bride of Christ beautiful. Church has a bad name. Many churches have a bad name. It is time to turn that around. People must love the body of Christ as much as they love the head. Amen. People must be drawn to Jesus because of us, of who they see. They see Jesus in us. They see Jesus shining through us. You know, and dead religion has given God a bad name. Dead religion is like when you say church and when you say Jesus, people think of their past experiences of church and they're like, woohoo, I'm running the other direction. It's time to change then. And the key is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The fullness of God, the Spirit of Christ amongst us. So as the Bible says in Revelation 22, there's a river flowing from the throne of God. That's the Holy Spirit. Wherever this river flows, it brings life. Many churches have positioned themselves in the desert, the spiritual desert. And they go build their little church there and like, Jesus, please bless this. And Jesus saying, but why don't you go and park at the river? Where there's life and blessing. And this is part of the shift we have made over the last 5 years. We have repositioned ourselves in the river of the Spirit. And I believe we're just getting started. We're just getting started. So I want to call you to the river of life. I want to call you to the fullness of the Spirit. And it's available for everyone. You know, first 10 years of ministry, I thought I was filled with the Spirit. I'm the pastor, for goodness sake. I thought I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I even prayed in tongues. Can you imagine that? I thought I was filled with the Spirit, but I wasn't. I had no idea what filled with the Spirit mean. And I'm still just discovering. Guys, there's more. There's so much more. There is so much more. There's one thing I want to say to you tonight is I want to remove the lid. Whatever you've seen, whatever you've experienced, it is a fraction of what God wants to do in you and through you. Go read the stories of past revivals. It is amazing. And revival is coming. I feel God has told me revival is coming. The question is, will we be ready? Will we be ready when that wave comes? You see, there are little waves currently. And you need to learn how to surf those little waves. For when the big boys are coming, we must all be ready to see God's kingdom come. Amen. So come on, let's open your heart, open your mind. There's so much more that God wants to do. And so I just want to show you a diagram, which my book is based upon. I believe this is a blueprint for ministry. I believe this is how we should be doing church. Instead of having our own structures and saying, Lord, please fill this. The Lord is saying, no, focus on the rivers of life. The apostolic flow, which I'm focusing on now, is about the kingdom of God reigning in our midst. When the kingdom of God comes, everything contrary to the kingdom of heaven must leave. Whether it's darkness, whether it's sickness, whether it is whatever you can think, when the kingdom comes, evil must go. Apostolic flow. If you just get into that river, because Jesus says in John chapter 7, 38, he who believes in me, say believe. Rivers of living waters will flow forth from his inner being. Rivers, not just one, rivers. I mean, at least five rivers. I said that this morning, my wife believes there's a sixth river. The river of romance. I agree. It's a lovely river. But there are these rivers that wants to flow forth from our inner being. And I've seen this. At times, the power of God would be so amazing. You would like, it's as if there's a river flowing from the inside and it's crashing over people. Absolutely crashing over people. I mean, we had this meeting in Brazil and my translator was not that great. So we were like, whoa, missing one another. I was like, Jesus, help us tonight. But the Lord is faithful. And so in that meeting, at some point, the power of God fell in that place. So if you had like two sections of the church, the whole left section were almost on the floor. Like 80% of the people were on the floor. Little kids manifesting demons. It was wild. It looked like a war zone. I was like, Jesus, woo! It's wild. See, God wants to break out. He wants to set people free. He wants to crash in, and when that river of life hits you, you set free, you get rewired. One touch from God can change you for life. One encounter. Prayed for a lady the one time, one of our ladies at church. I was like dead tired. I was like, oh, I need a break. I'm really tired. She said, please pray for me. Okay, fine, I'll pray for you. And the Lord just told me, suddenly a prophetic word came and said, I want to rewire you. I want to rewire you. I'm going to release a worship anointing over you. Little timid girl, lady, just like you know, power of God comes upon her. She goes to the floor. It's like this river, like, whoosh, goes to the floor. She says she feels a hand on the inside of her body, rewiring things. She got up, changed, starting to lead worship in our church. So anointed, anointing. Anointing. One touch from heaven can unlock your potential and your destiny like you have never imagined. You need to pursue the prophetic. So many of the things that we have experienced, it started with a prophetic word. The Lord said to me, there's an outpouring of healing coming. Trust me for this. We saw four people healed end of 2012. Trust me for healing, for an outpouring. I saw a vision of everybody getting healed. And the Lord said to me, there's a time coming where everybody's going to get healed. And we've been in meetings where it seemed like everybody's getting healed. But the prophetic word unlocked it. The prophetic word released it. You see, when you might feel like I don't have something, it's like the moment the prophetic word is released, it's like those giftings, that potential, all those things are bringing closer to you that you can take hold of it. So trust God for the prophetic word. So the second one there, the second flow is the prophetic flow. I want to focus a little bit more on this tonight. Presence host. Everything flows from the presence of God. Everything flows from the presence of God. And so you need to live a presence-centered life. Healing flows from the presence of God. So I'm going to share a few things about that. Let's say it. God is moving tonight. Let's say God is awakening us tonight. He's stirring our faith. Every story I'm sharing with you is an invitation for you to experience the same and more. Every story, every testimony is an invitation, is an invitation, is an invitation. So a few weeks ago, I felt God ask me this question. Can I trust you? Can I trust you with what I'm going to pour out into you? Can I trust you, guys? Can I trust you to represent me well? Can I trust you to love well? And I believe that's the question Jesus is asking his church right now. Can he trust us to be faithful with what he pours into our hearts and laps? Or will we become proud and arrogant and ugly with people? The test is, can we love well? The heart of the healing ministry is to love. It's a ministry of love. I've cried with so many people. I've cried with so many people. My heart just breaks. And it unlocks more of God, more of his presence, more of his anointing. The Lord wants to touch your heart. He wants to make your heart soft. He wants you to weep with people. The miracle is in God's hands, but to love someone is in your hands. That's what God wants to do. So I was in Argentina a while ago. You know, when it comes to healing and the theology around healing, there's a whole bunch of things that impact our beliefs. Things like, you know, unbelief, wrong theology. It can impact the way we think about healing. Disappointments. You tried it. It didn't work. Who's tried to pray for someone for healing? Didn't work. Whoa, well done. At least you prayed. But what happens? We pray and then we back away. It's not for me. I think the worst thing that can kill us when it comes to healing is significant disappointment. Someone you really loved, you prayed, everybody prayed, they died. Those things can bring a bitterness to our heart and mind and soul. It can immunize us from what I'm teaching tonight. So just be aware, God wants to heal your heart. He wants to restore. He wants to restore. He wants to restore. So I went to this church in Argentina and about two years ago. And the senior pastor, his daughter got cancer in her early 30s. Everybody prayed. She died. It broke that church. Absolutely broke that church. They have beautiful worship. They love God, but they're just not seeing miracles in their church for like 20 years. Like healing miracles. And they're not seeing it. So now we arrived, 7 of us, and I'm going to talk about healing. So preach about healing, and it was a leaders meeting, just 45 leaders. I preached about healing. I said, Jesus heals. And then most of my team were completely new. They never prayed for anybody in their lives. So they're like, woo, okay. Jesus, help us. So now we're stepping out and we're starting to pray for people, and Jesus begins to heal. 16 out of the 45 leaders were healed. Senior pastor's knees were healed. Lady with multiple operations were healed. It was amazing. That church was just, whoa, some things. That was just the start of the week, first night. Rocked their world. That pastor spoke to me a month after we were there. He said, nothing is the same. Nothing is the same. It's like the lid was removed. They realized God wants to work through them too. And we prayed for the pastors. We laid hands on them. They received an impartation. They went out to hospitals, started to pray for people, and people started to get healed. See, you can just catch it. The anointing. Say, you can catch it. Say, I'm catching it tonight. Yes, catching it tonight. Come on. You need to activate your faith. You need to come with an expectation. And the Lord's going to fill. He's going to fill you up. So we were, just before we went to Argentina, the pastor was in Brazil, and a prophetic word was spoken over his life that said, the fivefold ministry is going to be poured out over your church, a month before we arrived. 3 weeks before we arrived, his sister, other sister who was in the full-time ministry, she had a dream. In the dream, she saw 5 rivers flowing. Then the main worship leader also had the same dream of 5 rivers flowing. So now I arrive and say, guys, I really feel 5 rivers flowing. They're like, Jesus, he's speaking. Rock their world. I believe there are five rivers flowing. If you just reposition yourself in that anointing, you're going to see the glory of God. I mean, think about it. Pentecost. What changed, Peter, before Pentecost, after Pentecost? The Holy Spirit. An evangelistic anointing was poured out upon that church, and thousands turned to Jesus. But what do we normally think? I'm not very evangelistic. Forget your past. There's a river flowing and it's available. I mean, I didn't think I was an evangelist. I just always I loved praying. I loved Jesus, and I always had a heart for the lost to come to Christ. Like, Jesus, save. You know, when they do the altar calls, all the evangelists come forward, and I'll sit at the back and like, I also, but it's not for me. Until 4 years ago, before we went to India, the word of the Lord came and the Lord said to me, you are a healing evangelist. Rock my world. Are you kidding? No. You see, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible. All things are possible. The Lord has absolutely revolutionized us, and it all began here. The mountains on the inside is moving. The Lord said to me, if you want to move the mountain in front of you, you first need to move the mountain on the inside of you. Move the unbelief. Move the lies. Renounce all that rubbish of your past that tells you who you are and who you're not. Forget it. And say, Jesus, who do you say I am? Let him tell you. I promise you, you have no idea who you are. Because 5 years ago, I didn't. Had no idea. Until the real prophetic word started to be spoken over my life. And I'm like, holy moly. 2 years ago, I was at Convergence. Who's been to Convergence, the conference? So I was on stage. I was just facilitating one of the sessions. And as I was just standing on the side, I felt Daddy God speak to my heart. I felt him say to me, look. Look at the people, about 1,500 people. And I heard the voice of my Daddy God whisper in my heart saying, this is a small crowd compared to where I'm taking you. Amen. 9 months later, church is 6,000 in Brazil. That church was rocked by the power of God. I'm nobody, but I have a loving dad who knows me better than I do. And he wants to do the same in your life. He wants to remove the lid. He wants to reveal to you who you are. Doesn't matter how old you are. Smith Wigglesworth started at the age of 47. And he had a ministry of 40 years that 100 years later is still rocking the nations. Never too late. Amen. Everybody over 20 say it's never too late. Amen. It's never too late. It's time to remove those lids. The other ones is the pastoral flow, the teaching flow, the evangelistic flow. God wants to make his bride beautiful. Begins with you. One man, one woman who's on fire for Jesus can shift so many things. So also about 2 years ago, just before we went to Argentina, I was praying. We were praying for Argentina, our missions team. And I saw a vision of... like in my mind's eye, I saw a vision of the well-known scene of Jesus on the donkey entering Jerusalem. You know that scene? The king, the Messiah, entering Jerusalem with multitudes of people along the road with palm branches, celebrating the Messiah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But in this vision, I didn't see Jesus. I only saw the donkey. This little donkey walking down the road. Everybody's still cheering and celebrating. I'm like, Jesus, what does that mean? Now I felt the Lord say to me, this is my church. A lot of activity, but I am not present. A lot of activity, but I am not present. You see, we don't have a frame of reference for revival. We don't have a frame of reference for when God moves. We don't have a frame of reference for when God is truly present. And the Lord said to me, you know, when we don't have his tangible presence on our lives, we become as useless as donkeys going for a walk. Can't even heal a headache. You know, many churches have become that. Activity, but not presence. Many Christians' lives have become activity, but not presence. And we wonder why we're depressed. We wonder why we have no joy. We wonder why ministry is so hard. It's time to carry His presence. That donkey's greatest moment of his life was carrying King Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. Your greatest honor, my greatest honor, is to carry the presence of God into cities, into communities, into the workplace, into our study places, into our hostels. It would be King Jesus invading again. Amen. That is our greatest honor, to carry His presence and to release His presence wherever we go. I started to jog again in December. It's profound. It's profound. And I think it was in the first week or two, I was very unfit. So now I'm jogging. It's the end of my 4K jog. I'm like, you know, like, I'm tired. And so I'm almost at home, 100 meters before home. And one of our members drive past and he waves and he calls me, say, hey, 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 hey. And he calls me closer. I'm like, so now he's got a guy in the car with him. And he says, I'm about to take this guy to hospital. He's got appendicitis. They're going to take out the appendix. Would you please pray? I'm like, would you please pray? I mean, would you please breathe? Breathe. So now I'm praying for this guy. And I'm just releasing the presence of God. And after a while, I'm like, yo, I feel God is here, you know. And I'm releasing healing. And then I also pray the good prayer. Lord, please lead the surgeon's hands. But I did pray, Lord, heal in Jesus' name. Heal this man. 5 days later, this guy phoned me. He said they took the guy into the operation theater. Something went wrong with the anesthetic, so they had to abort. Took him back to his room. He slept overnight. Next morning, he was completely healed. Hallelujah. Point being, even when you can't hardly breathe, Jesus is still working. So it's not about feeling. It's awesome to have the sense of the anointing, the presence of God, but the Lord just wants to work through you. Just believe, and rivers of living waters will flow forth from your inner being. Amen. Amen. Believe, believe. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to believe. So when Jesus came, you see, the miracles that Jesus did was not done as God. He did it as a perfect man, completely surrendered to the power of God. Jesus came to show us what would be possible for someone completely surrendered to the Holy Spirit. I mean, then why did he have to wait? Why did he need to get baptized? And why did the Holy Spirit have to come upon him before he started his miracle, his ministry? He came to show us what it looks like to be a real Christian. So often we say, well, what would Jesus do morally? Why not? What would Jesus do practically? If Jesus was here, he would heal the sick and he would set people free. That's what he did. That's what he trained his disciples to do. That is the Great Commission. Now go teach everybody what I taught you. I gave you hands on training in this ministry. Now go do the same. You see, when Jesus, he showed us what is possible, and then he went to the cross to open the door for many sons and daughters to follow. Amen. Jesus showed us what a son of God looks like. And then he opened the door for many sons and daughters of God to follow. He is the firstborn from the dead. And you and I are called to follow. You see, when he died on the cross, he died for all your sin. He removed all your sin as far as the east is from the west. When you call upon his name, he washes you as clean, as pure, as holy as Jesus was when he walked the earth. What does it mean? It means now the fullness of the Spirit can come and rest upon you. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Let's say it, I am a temple of the Holy Spirit, washed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. You need to get this revelation. So many Christians, so many sons and daughters of God are living with this yoke of guilt and condemnation and accusation. Never good enough, never good enough, never good enough. You're good enough by faith. Just receive it by faith. I'm a child of the King. Amen. You know, my son, Vian, he's 8 years old. I love him to bits. I can't help myself. I just want to be with him. I'm drawn to him. I just want to be with him the whole time. Doesn't matter what he does. I want to be with him. I want to hold him and kiss him. And, oh, my boy, Key. And I'm an ordinary dad. A heavenly father is so much better. He wants to be with you. He wants to hold you. Doesn't matter what you've done. Let's say it. I'm a daddy magnet. Yes. You are. You are a daddy magnet. Let's say it again. I'm a daddy magnet. He's drawn to you. There's nothing that you can do that will cause him to walk away. Nothing. Nothing. He loves you so much. He wants to be with you. You need to get a revelation of this, and you will experience the power of God move in your life like never before. You'll have such confidence. You'll have such boldness. You'll have such faith knowing my daddy is with me. He loves you. He loves you. He's going to set people free tonight. He's going to set people free tonight. He's going to break bondages. He's going to break bondages. He's going to break things off our lives. Depression, insomnia, fear, anxiety. He's going to just set us free from guilt and condemnation. Say, that's me. It's for me. Amen. So we were in Brazil in that meeting. We call it the Demonville meeting. When half of the place were manifesting was wild. We now call it ex-Demonville. After Jesus moved. But so I was in worship and I was precious time and I felt God asked me this question. Would you like to know how is it possible for you to do greater works than Jesus? I'm like, whoa, I want to know. I want to know. So this scripture, John 14, verse 12. Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you. Now, Jesus, he started with a most assuredly because he knew you're not going to believe. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who is really awesome, he who has five generations of Christians in his bloodline, he who is super special, no, he who believes. It's for everybody. Say it's for everybody. For everybody, he who believes. You see, Jesus came and he said, it's for everybody. You know, sometimes it feels like many of us, we like try to make it as small as possible so as few people as possible would qualify. When the arms of the Father is wide open saying, this is for everybody. It is. So Jesus is saying, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works, say greater works, than these he will do because I go to my Father. So Jesus is saying, he who believes in me, same works. How is it possible? Because when Jesus went to the cross, he died for all your sin and he made you as holy and as pure and as righteous as Jesus himself. So you have the same Holy Spirit, the same power, you can do the same thing. But greater works, Jesus, that offends me. How can I do better, greater works than you? You are Jesus. I mean, you're God. You're the Son of God. Jesus is awesome. Do you agree? Amen. He's worthy of worship. He's amazing. And the Lord said to me when he asked, do you want to know how can you do greater works? I felt the Lord say to me, the answer is the power of community. The power of community. You know, I've seen this. The Lord started to unpack that to me, for me. And he showed me that when Jesus was walking the earth, he was the only truly spirit-filled believer. He was on his own. He was on his own in Gethsemane, and he had a ragtag bunch of useless guys. They were messing up continuously. Do you agree? It gives me much hope for me. You know? But after Pentecost, There were like 3,000 plus people filled with the Holy Spirit. They were worshiping and praying almost day and night. There was a unified, powerful community of believers. And revival broke out. They did greater works. I mean, even Peter's shadow healed the sick. Someone heard, put him in the shadow. He's going to get healed. We saw it the other day. But never with Jesus that we know of. Greater works. Power of community. So I want to warn you in the sense, I've seen with so many people who get obsessed with the supernatural, they think they can do that outside of community. And they are deceived. This is one of the biggest traps I've seen with people getting excited about the supernatural is they start judging their own church, they start judging their leaders, and they walk away from community. You're making a mistake. It's in community that the ultimate power lies. Unity. So that's the mission. The local church is the hub for revival. When all five rivers of life flows, you will have sustainable revival. So I want to encourage you, plug into community. Get connected. Do it together. Don't walk alone. And you will see greater works. I believe it. You will see greater works. So tomorrow night, I want to share about the whole being, the whole man being healed, soul, spirit, and body, and how the three are connected. I want to quickly show this. Okay, Ross, I need help. How do you know when something is full? Oh, no. You can take that. Hold that. I'll hold this. How do you know when something is full? Overflows. So this is you. That is God's unlimited supply of the Holy Spirit. Let's pour it. Ah, yeah, whoa, whoa. Yes. Overflowing. Let's have some more. This is good stuff. Yes. Overflowing. That is how it should be. Thank you so much. Let's give Ross a hand. That was just brilliant. We should be overflowing the very presence of God. Overflow, overflow, overflow. There's so many times I've seen this. It's just you standing in the presence of God and there's like a river of life flowing through you and people get healed and set free and the kingdom of God comes. So look at this. Mark 5:25. Classic story revealing how Jesus was overflowing the Holy Spirit. It says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She's been going through hell for 12 years, lost almost everything, desperate, desperate to be healed. And so in verse 28, she says, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, say immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And be like, Jesus, everybody's touching you. But someone touched me differently. This is so powerful. She came with a little bit of faith. She touched Jesus. Power flowed out of him. He leaked. He overflowed the Holy Spirit. And she was healed. This is so profound. Think about this for a moment. Jesus didn't know that she was there. You know, sometimes when we think about the will of God, we like thinking God is like looking at us like, no, not too much sin there. Oh, no, goodness gracious. Maybe that one. Yeah, you guys, lucky you. Jesus didn't even know that she was there. He didn't pray. He didn't do anything. He was just walking. But his clothes was soaked in the anointing, soaked in the very presence of God. And then she came into contact with the presence of God and whew, healed. That is so profound. Because what it says to me is, it is always the will of God to heal. You must just get into contact with His Holy Spirit, the fullness of His presence. Amen. That's so powerful. The Bible says, until your days are fulfilled. I shared about this morning. You can always believe it's the will of God for you to be healed until your days are fulfilled and it's time to go home. You see, God isn't only able to heal. He isn't only willing to heal. He delights to heal. Say it, He delights. He delights to heal. That's what the Bible says. It says He delights in giving mercy. So the blind men on the streets would say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Everybody would say, be quiet, be quiet. Then I'd shout louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. And then Jesus would call them and he'd say, I have mercy, be healed. It is His passion. We don't serve an unwilling God who's like, I don't want to. No, we like daddy magnets. He wants to be with us. He wants to pour His goodness out upon us. I mean, imagine for a moment the Indian Ocean being lifted up, put it over Africa. The pressure that the water would try and get down, the water that would be pressing down, wanting to break through every crevice and break out over our continent. That is a picture of God's passion, His delight, His desire to pour out His goodness upon our land. That is His desire. But the enemy has told us He's unwilling. He is willing. He delights to. Amen. He delights to. And so we need to become presence focused, presence centered. That's why worship is so powerful. I live a worship life. Put my speaker on, Jesus. I've heard it said that if you have an hour to pray, worship for 45 minutes. Get into His presence, then pray, and the kingdom will come. Get presence focused, presence focused, presence focused. You know, that's why I personally live a ruthless life when it comes to the worldly things. I don't expose my eyes, my ears, my heart to nonsense because I want to be holy. So that more of Jesus would be poured out upon me. Changes the game. Changes the game. The Lord told me 2 years ago, I often fast movies because I replay them in my head. And there's no space for the Holy Spirit then for the Word of God. So anyways, I was ending a fast and I was binging again a little bit. Must confess. And I just felt like the anointing level. And I wasn't happy. I was like, oh, I'm torn in two. And the Lord spoke to me. I love these Marvel comic movies things, you know. Sorry. But I love it. I love it too much. And the Lord told me. He asked me a question. What do you want? Do you want to be a couch potato that watch make-believe stories? Or do you want to be a real superhero? I know it's a little corny, you know, but... But He spoke to me. I'm like, yes, I want to lead people to Christ. I want to set them free. Marvel Comics is a load of hogwash, make-believe nonsense. The real deal is in the Scriptures. It says over and over again, and they marveled. And they marveled. Amen. And they marveled. That's the real deal. So I know I'm just a donkey without the Holy Spirit. But I knew when I was 4 months later, we were in Argentina and God was so moving, doing some wonderful things. And at some time it was like a word from the Lord. The pastor looked at me and I was like, man, I'm tired. And he looked at me and said, you're Superman. That was my word from the Lord. Yes! Come on, it's worth it. It's worth turning the rubbish off. I heard the one guy said, you know, TV is like the moron's magnet. I didn't say that. That's what he's saying. It's time for visions, not television. It's time for a generation to arise that live in purity, not because of guilt and condemnation and bondage. because we want more of Jesus. Amen. Come on, let's do this. Let the Lord stir this in your heart. And this is so beautiful. Mark chapter 6, verse 56. Just a little bit later, after the lady touched the hem of his garment, someone heard about it. Someone heard that woman just touched the hem of his garment. That's amazing. Look at this. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. Wow, that just blows your bad theology out of the door. just touch. He didn't pray. He didn't say, just touch. Just touch. Come in contact with the presence of God. Healed. 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 When heaven invades, everything contrary to heaven must go. There is no sickness in heaven. There is no demonic torment in heaven. There is no depression in heaven. There is no fear in heaven. There is nothing bad in heaven. So when heaven comes, everything else must go. Amen. So let's go for it. So you might now say, but yeah, that's Jesus, you know. Jesus is awesome, but what about the rest of us? But before I share that, how do you journey this? I'm almost finished. Then we're going to pray for people. How do you walk this out, practically speaking? You need to have an expectation up here. Jesus heals. Over here, you have your experience. My expectation is Jesus heals. My experience is sometimes, you know, it might be for some of us like that. But what happens is when you stepped out, didn't work. So what we do is we downscale our expectation. We downgrade our expectation. You see, the mountain I want to move on the inside is this. You prayed for someone, it didn't work. And obviously then it is a sign that the healing ministry isn't for you. That's a false statement. That is a false statement. When it doesn't work, it's an invitation to press in for more. When it doesn't work, it's an invitation to go back to Jesus and to pray until that to get more of Him until you break through. For instance, my wife, she has, since our boy was born around 8 years ago, she's had major back pain, major back problems. I've prayed for her hundreds of times, hundreds. I'm like, okay, Jesus' name, pray, Jesus' name, right, test. And she says, no change. I'm like, can't be. We prayed for hundreds who have been healed, but with my own wife, it's not working. What do you do with that? Do you get bitter? Do you get upset? No. It's like, thank you, Jesus. We're one day closer to breakthrough. One day closer to breakthrough. And so many, we've seen hundreds of backs healed. Major problems. I believe it's because I've pressed in for my wife's healing. Every time I pray for her, I'm unlocking a greater anointing for someone else. Amen. So I prayed for a lady a year or two ago at Shofar PE. Exactly the same problem as my wife, Sonica. Since birth, she's had major back problems for about 2.5 years at that time. She couldn't get off the couch without her husband helping her up. So now she's standing in front of me, weeping and weeping, like, I can't take this anymore. I need Jesus to heal me. So we prayed in Jesus' name. The pain levels were like 8 or 9 out of 10, which is maximum pain. We prayed for her. It goes down to 4. Thank you, Jesus. We pray again. It goes down to 0. Month later, still healed. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. He heals. But you see, out of your own pain, out of your own hurt, you can actually unlock the most breakthrough. Everything you go through that you don't like, that's bad, persecution, problems, sickness, disease, it is your greatest tool to go deeper into the river of life. If you handle it right. That's what I've been doing over the last 5, 6 years. Is Jesus, every time I can't do it, I'm like, let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. Let's say, come on, let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. Amen. Okay, so I was saying is, your expectation is over here. Your experience is over here. Keep your expectation up there. Jesus Christ heals. Jesus Christ heals through me. Jesus is powerful. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus. Every promise in the Bible is yours through faith in Christ. It is mine. Say, it is mine. So you must keep your faith there by focusing on the promises of God. And you keep on praying, keep on praying, keep on praying. All the doctors and medical people in the house, you have got so many opportunities to pray for people. Come on, do it. It's your opportunity. When it doesn't work today, just know that tomorrow it will. Or maybe the day after. But press in, press in, press in. Amen. Last scripture, Acts 19:11. You might say, okay, it's only with Jesus that this overflowing thing works. Well, it worked with the Apostle Paul as well. Look at this. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. That's just weird. But it's in the Bible. A handkerchief from his body, he was soaked, he was leaking, he was overflowing the anointing of God. They took the hanky, put it on someone and healed. I heard Smith Wigglesworth, a lady came to Smith Wigglesworth and she said to him, my son is divorcing his wife, he's at home again and he's so lost his way, he's so gone off track. What must I do? So he said, give me a handkerchief. He prayed over the handkerchief. He said, put it under his pillow. Don't tell him. Put it under his pillow. And she put it under his pillow. That same night, around middle of the night, he woke up repenting, saying he should change his life. And he should go back to his wife. And he did. And he turned to Christ. Isn't that powerful? I heard another story, a guy with the name of Andreas Bassoni. A guy really focused on the Holy Spirit and the presence of God. He says a young man comes to him. And this young man wants nothing to do with God. His mom dragged him. And now this young man is speaking to him and oh, I don't want it. So he's trying to persuade him to turn to Jesus, turn to Jesus, turn to Jesus. He doesn't want it. And then the guy says, you could feel this is not going to work. Next moment he feels the Holy Spirit above his head. And next moment he's like, whew, Holy Spirit falls upon this young man. He grabs his heart. He falls to the floor screaming, I must change. Hallelujah. Any man, any woman on the face of this earth can turn to Jesus right now if our measure of anointing is equal to the measure of their bondage. Amen. That is the invitation. Everybody is harvestable right now if the measure of the anointing on our lives is equal to the bondage in their lives. That is God's invitation. He's saying, guys, come on. Pursue. Seek. Go deeper. And you will experience the power of God. It's going to break out in Jesus' name. Amen. Last story. So we were in Argentina. And it was the one night we have a healing outreach meeting. I was praying the afternoon and I saw a vision of an angel standing behind me on stage that night. And the angel wings, like huge, beautiful wings. And I saw the wings just close, like healing being released over the place. So I knew it's going to be a good meeting. So that night, there were 150 people. Preach my heart out. But before I did that, it was amazing. These pastors and the leaders of the church, they so honored us. They were on their knees before us, touching our feet. Blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. I was like, man, I felt anointed 50% before, but now it's like, it's 200%. They're like just drawing the anointing out. Honor. Honor. We have such a culture of dishonor in our society. We dishonor instead of when you honor, dishonor negates the anointing. Honor amplifies the anointing. So I preached my heart out. And a whole bunch of words of knowledge called the people forward. About 60, 70 people came forward. And I felt like ears and heads and necks and a whole bunch of things. And then we released healing and we said, okay, if you feel better, raise your hand. And a whole bunch of hands went up. And I was like, are they understanding me? Who feels better? Are they sure? I wasn't sure. The senior pastor's mother, 76 years old. When she was younger than 10, her dad beat her so badly that she lost all her hearing in the one ear and 90% in the other ear. She's had a hearing aid for 30 years. She's standing there. I'm saying, Lord, we command healing to ears in Jesus' name. And I say, test. Next moment, she takes the hearing aid off and she starts to shout, I can hear. Hallelujah. That meeting just exploded. People were getting healed all over on the balcony, and the one lady, cancer disappeared, and people were coming to Christ, and it was just like God just moving. That lady heard the rain for the first time in 50 years, 2 days later. And she wasn't planted. They knew her. For all the skeptics, if there's any skeptics, I don't know. But it so rocked my world. I was like, Jesus is powerful. Jesus wants to break out. He wants to break out with his spirit. He wants to heal and deliver and set free. He wants to restore marriages. He wants to heal hearts. He's here tonight. He wants to move. Last scripture. I forgot about this one. Numbers 11:25. Always a pastor's right to slip one in there at the end. So we were at the Amazon River, on the Amazon River, where there's meeting in Manaus, city of 2 million people now recently. And right at that city, the Amazon, biggest freshwater river on earth. It looks like the sea, I promise you, it's unbelievable. Right at that spot, the two branches of the Amazon comes together, and then they basically double the size of the Amazon. For me, that is a picture of impartation. Your life is represented by a river, maybe a trickle. Impartation is another river flowing into yours. That which you didn't have 5 minutes ago, now you have by power of impartation. Look at this scripture. It says, then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took off the spirit that was upon him. This is Moses. It says he took off the spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. Say the same. And it happened when the Spirit rested upon them that they prophesied. The worship team can please come forward so long. Amazing. The same Spirit that was upon Moses was multiplied to 70 others. A river of life flowing into them. Who wants an impartation tonight? The Lord wants to pour out His Spirit into you. This is what happened to me. I went to a few meetings. I had some people pray for me. I had a God encounter, and then everything changed. One God encounter can change you for life. One God encounter can change you for life. Hallelujah. So I want to ask you, every miracle I've shared tonight is a sign that points to Jesus as Savior, as Lord. It's evidence that He's alive, that He died for our sin. He gave His life at the cross for you and for me. Every miracle is a sign that He's real, He's alive, He's powerful. He loves you so much. So if we could maybe stand. Father, we welcome you here tonight. Father, we welcome you here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is here tonight. He wants to touch you. You're a daddy magnet. He's drawn to you. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how many times you've fallen away. Doesn't matter where you find yourself currently. His arms are wide open saying, come. Love you so much. I want to heal you. I want to wash you clean. I want to make you new. I want to make you new. So I want to ask you tonight, if you've lost your way with Jesus, maybe you've committed your life previously to Christ, but you've backslidden, you've fallen back into a wrong lifestyle. The fire has faded. And tonight you want to come back to Him. I want you just quickly to raise your hand. Just say, I want to turn back to Jesus. Thank you for all those hands. Thank you. Just after you've raised your hand, you can drop it. Anybody else, just raise your hand if you need to turn back to Jesus tonight. Some of us have so been bound by dead religion. And the Lord wants to set you free from that striving and wants to set you free. So if you need to turn back to Jesus tonight and you haven't raised your hand yet, just quickly raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. He loves you. He's drawn to you. Jesus loves you so much. Tonight is a new beginning for you. Thank you for those hands. Tonight is a new beginning. I feel like there's a revival going to start in the hearts of people. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? Last time. Anybody else? You haven't raised your hand yet and you know it's like beating on the inside. You need to make right with the King. King Jesus tonight. Then I just want you to raise your hand quickly. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Can I ask, if you raised your hand, could you guys, ladies, just quickly come forward? At least 20 people, 20 or more people raised their hands. Just come forward. We want to pray with you. If you've done this before, it's all good. Just come again. We can pray for you and bless you. Come on, let's give them a hand. Well done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just come a little bit forward. Father, we thank you. Thank you, God, for an awakening. Thank you, God, for a revival in our hearts tonight. God does not want you to live a boring Christian life anymore. He wants you to live a life that is on fire for God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just pray a prayer together, just of surrender to our King Jesus, who loves us, who loves us so much. I feel God is so excited about what's happening in this house tonight. He's so excited about what's stirring in your heart. Jesus' name. So just pray this prayer. I'll lead you. Let's pray it aloud and say, Father God, thank you that you love me so much. Thank you, God, that you're drawn to me. I surrender. I surrender my whole life to you. Forgive me for every bit of compromise, every sin. Forgive me and wash me clean. Make me new. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Put a fire on the inside of me that I may burn for you, Jesus. I surrender all to Jesus. Have your way in me. In Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to pray for you. If the DBS missions team can just come and stand with the people here. Father, we just commit every heart, every life into your hands. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I declare, God, one encounter with Jesus. And we'll never be the same again. Never be the same again. Lord, right now we release life. We cast off dead religion. We cast off the striving of the flesh, of guilt and condemnation over every heart in this place. Lord, heal hearts. Lord, heal our spirit. Make them alive. Make us alive. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Let's just say it. Holy Spirit, come. Let's just welcome the Spirit of God to touch hearts. Come, Holy Spirit. Flood this house. Flood our hearts, flood our lives. Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Let's just raise our hands for a moment to the Lord. As God, we are the revival generation. We are the revival generation. We are the people who will be on fire for God. Jesus' name, light the fire, Lord. Holy Spirit, fall upon this place. Light the fire in our hearts. Wash away the worldliness. Wash away the defilement of this world. Make us new. Make us new. Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Right now, kingdom come. Fire fall. Fire fall on our hearts. Breathe upon us, Lord. Breathe upon us, Lord. Breathe upon us, Lord. Lord, we release right now an impartation of healing, an impartation of the prophetic to hear your voice. Lord, come and unlock destiny, unlock identity. Lord, come and reveal to us who we are in you. Hear his voice. Hear his voice. Jesus' name. Lord, may we fall in love with you again like never before. Jesus, Jesus, light the fire in our hearts. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Okay, praise God. Thank you. Those here in the front, you are welcome to go find a seat again. We just want to call some other people forward as well. Unless you need pray for something specific, you can stay. I just felt that there are people here that maybe you battle with heaviness, depression, a lack of joy, or maybe just you feel there's darkness in your life, in any area that you want freedom. I feel that the Holy Spirit is going to set people free tonight. If that's you, just come and stand here on my left, your right. Heaviness, lack of joy, depression, any one of those type of things. Or an area of your life that you need freedom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Insomnia, people. Any person battling with insomnia, fear, anxiety, anything like that, just come and stand over here. I feel also back pain, back problems. Also, just come and stand over here. Back problems. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Just focus on Jesus. Let's go deeper. Let's go deeper into the river of the Spirit. Tomorrow night, I'm going to speak about going deeper and about the fullness of the Spirit of God and healing to the whole man. So join us tomorrow night again, 6:30 in this place. Hallelujah. I feel the Lord is saying, I'm going to set some people free here tonight. There's freedom. There's freedom coming right now. There's freedom coming right now. Presence of God, come upon your people right now. Holy Spirit, come. Come upon your people right now. Freedom. When the Son sets you are free indeed. I see a fire being lit in the hearts of people. Just let Him light that fire now. Lord, right now we release an increase, an upgrade in the Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Light the fire in the hearts of your people. Such a hunger, such a thirst for more. More Jesus. Let's say it, more Jesus. We want more of you. More Holy Spirit. We want more of you. We will not rest until we have more. We are thirsty. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Come on, there's an outpouring of the Spirit happening here right now. God's going to do something here right now. Hallelujah. Let's do a clap offering for Jesus and lift our voices. Come on. Lord, we worship you. We worship you, Jesus. Awaken. River flow. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. Break every chain. Kingdom come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands for a moment. I want to pray for the fire of God on your hands and impartation. So many times I've heard prophetic words of this fire in your hands. There's fire in your hands. And when we pray for people, they say, I'm feeling fire. And then they get healed. Lord, right now, every hand that is raised, God, we ask for an impartation of the fire of God. A flame of fire on every hand. On every hand and every heart. In Jesus' name, right now, by faith, we receive the same Spirit multiplied. The same Spirit multiplied to every heart, to every mind. Jesus' name. Fire of God, fall. Fire of God, fall. On every hand and every heart. I see also mouths on fire. I feel God's going to give you boldness to speak and authority to speak, to say, be healed in Jesus' name, and an authority to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Fire, fire in every mouth, fire on our hands, fire in our hearts, a pure Holy Spirit fire. Just say, I receive. I receive. I receive. Come, Holy Spirit, now. Come, Holy Spirit, come now. Come now. Come now. Come now. Come now. Who's feeling something on their hands? Anybody sensing something on their hands? Come on, let's just give a moment. Give a moment to the Holy Spirit for an impartation. Impartation of boldness. Impartation of a healing anointing. I feel God is releasing an anointing that when some of you are going to lay hands on people who have darkness on their souls, the darkness will leave and the kingdom will come. Fire. Fire of God. Burn within us. Burn upon us. Pentecost fire. Flame of fire. On every heart, every head. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. I want to ask you if you felt like a fire or a flame in your hands, you're feeling like an anointing on your hands, I want you to come forward and to come and pray with someone here in the front. I will facilitate the prayer time, but I want you to be bold and come and stand with someone. If you felt like an anointing on your hands, I want you to come and now step out. Come and stand. Preferably guys with guys, ladies with ladies. I just want to put on the screen the four stages. Don't pray yet. I just want to put the four steps of praying for people on the screen. It should be one of the last slides there. The first key is just to love on someone. Love is our ministry. Jesus does the miracle. Get the name. What can I pray for you? How long have you had it? Interview them. And then I just want you to release the presence of God over them. Just to say, Holy Spirit, come, touch them, touch their hearts, touch their lives. And then you command, say, be healed in Jesus' name. You do that for a little bit. Then you say, okay, now test your body, see if you see anything change. Then you can pray again. You ask if the pain levels have dropped. And then you can just also prophesy, release a word over them. Just want to ask for everybody in the audience, any sickness in your body, quickly raise your hand. Any sickness, any pain. Anybody with pain on the left side of their stomach? Anybody with pain on the left-hand side of their stomach? Someone over here? Anybody else? Over there? Okay. Over there is like a word of knowledge that the Lord wants to heal you. Again, everybody raise your hands that has any form of sickness or disease in your life. Anything. Okay, now I want the rest of you, find a hand. You're going to pray for them. Just 2, 3, 4 people stand with someone whose hand is raised. If you don't have someone with you, keep your hand raised until there's someone with you. Here in the front as well. Okay, guys, come on. See, if you see a hand and you're not praying for someone, please go to them. If you've got someone with you, you can drop your hand. Okay, let's pray. I'm going to give a minute or two. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke, we renounce every darkness in this place, every heaviness, every depression, anything that's stealing our joy, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. Be healed. We release healing over bodies. We release healing over soul and spirit. Be set free in Jesus' name. Be set free in Jesus' name. Okay, take a moment and test your bodies if you can. If it's testable, test it. Test it. And then share with them. If it's not 100% healed yet, pray again. And we'll test again after that. Okay, test again. Second time, test your bodies again if you can. And then we're going to pray a third time. Good practice.